1.6 million euro. The improvement compared to 2018 is mainly in the operating cash flow, and this improvement is an operating cash flow better of 50.3 million euro, with evidence of a free cash flow to equity better than 2018 of 56.4 million euro. The ratio net working capital on sales ratio improved compared 2018 from 55.5%, that was the value in 2018, to 45.5%-42.3%. The improvement, as promised, was focused mainly in the working capital. The EBITDA cash conversion in 2019 was equal to 107% compared to 76% of 2018. I repeat, EBITDA cash conversion was 107% compared to 76% of 2018. Coming back to a general picture of the financial situation, as Massimo said, I would like to point that the middle long-term facility agreement signed with the banks for Pacon deal was recently renegotiated for the acquisition of ASH, and covenants have been renegotiated to have the maximum financial flexibility in any market condition. The new covenants, the leverage ratio, of course, for 2020 and 2021 have approx 50%-20% of headroom compared to previous covenants. That means in 2020, June new covenants is equal to 5.45x, and in December, the covenant will be 3.9x. It's important also to mention the repayment plan on the medium long-term debt that we have. We have at the moment a total outstanding amount of 452.5 million euro of medium long-term debt. That include, of course, 40 million euro borrowed for ASH acquisition. Of this amount, approx only 30% is amortizing, and the remaining part is bullet, due mainly in 2024. Amortizing plan is a special typology because we land in 2023 and is a back-end loaded repayment plan. This is just to say that only approx 4% of our medium long-term debt is due or will be due in 2020. That means more 90 million euro. The bullet repayment will be made mainly in 2024 for 255 million euro, and 50 million will be repaid in 2023. Another point that is important to be discussed is that at this moment, F.I.L.A. Group has more than 100 million euro of working capital credit facility available in all main countries. I mean Italy, USA, Mexico, China, France, India, Spain, and U.K. F.I.L.A. Group has a special revolving credit facility of 25 million euro that is committed until 2023. At the moment, the group has 50 million of cash on hand in the main company of the group. This is just to share with you which is the financial working capital availability of the group in this moment. Massimo, I think that after this financial picture introduction, you can give maybe a business picture of 2019 result, if you agree.
Thanks a lot, Stefano. I think it was important that Stefano gave a clear view and analysis of our financial situation. I think recently the many concern, from my point of view, unjustified, has been addressed to me. So now we can take out from the table any personal or subjective opinion. You have clear numbers to evaluate on your own. Coming back to 2019, I can understand everybody today has probably less interest in understanding what happened in 2019. Let me give you some general comments, always being attached to the performance. From my point of view, 2019 has been a good year, despite the EBITDA just showed a slight growth, because we had mainly two targets, and this I think I expressly said in the beginning of the year. The target number one was a cash generation. I think that despite we had the tail of some reorganization problems, we have been able to demonstrate when FILA wants to generate cash, is able to do that. Number two, we wanted to solve all our operational issues. I would say that we can finally say we have all the problems behind us. And when I say all except COVID-19, I mean all. And of course, 2019, we have landed a little bit longer than expected. Let me remember you that until April 2019, unfortunately, our central warehouse in Europe didn't perform. Unfortunately, we have been forced to postpone SAP Live in North America. This has reduced the amount of savings that we had in the budget. The fact that we have postponed the go live, we kept, unfortunately, in our system in North America a lot of inefficiencies with the customers. But we can now definitely talk about this using the past. A small comment related to this: United States in the last 24 months has been our problem in every call. I can tell you that the first quarter of this year, United States is the best performing country all around the world. 2019 had some slight negative surprises towards the end of the year. I would say some unexpected decision of our main customer to destock. Probably in light of this recession that some financial analyst was considering more than probable in 2020, so anyway, for whatever reason. In fact, since January, when it was clear that the recession should not happen, we have had, I would say, until mid-March, probably the strongest start of the year of the recent period, which is which very promising, and I would say even better than a very positive view we have in different occasions announced for 2020. So we were extremely optimistic, happy for the job done, the difficult job done in 2018 and 2019. And I can say also that this growth was happening almost in every country in the world. So I should not exclude any country. Then, of course, as you know better than me, that we have fallen in this unpleasant situation of this virus. And concerning 2020, again, I would like to take out from the table subjective comments or personal point of view, which I think are really useless in this moment. First of all, because I'm not a doctor. And second, because I think the way I would like to approach this is to give you elements to draw your conclusions going forward. So I think one important point is that we read everywhere, unfortunately, that schools are closed. The sell-out to schools in the month of April, May, we can include also partially March, is more or less 4% of the turnover of the year. The month of the September see in the school business around 55% of the sell-out of our sales. This is important to understand the impact of the virus to our expected numbers 2020, but as of today, we still don't know when the schools will reopen, if they will reopen, and when we will go back to a normal operation. But again, our sales have a peak season, usually starting from mid-May, but related to the school opening that start generally from the last week of August. This makes me a little bit more comfortable in terms of feasibility of our plans, as at the end, in this moment, we are losing only partially of the sales of the school related to this period in which the schools are closed. Of course, we are not losing 100% of this 4%, monthly 4%, as we are still selling through e-commerce customers, with a slight exception of Italy, that is the only country in the world in which our product has not been considered essential. So all around the world, that I remember you count for 92% of our turnover, our product has have been considered essential, so we continue selling. In Italy, for the moment, not. Let me remember one more point. The peak season for fine art, which has become now extremely important in our portfolio, is again between the third and the fourth quarter. So for the moment, we can realistically hope that the situation will be normalized. And of course, fine art is losing some percentage of sales, but April and May are typically low months. And a last comment, our jewel, Arsh, we bought Arsh. I think every other acquisition, I would probably step back, not Arsh, is probably the best asset we have in our portfolio. Despite the difficult situation, is showing us already a good month of March. I think that for the moment, I am concluding my comment and ready to answer to all your questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. The first question is from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my questions. Two, if I may. The first one is on EBITDA adjustments that in the fourth quarter have spiked to 10 million. So if you can comment on what are we talking about. And the second one is on India. Apparently, at the moment, operations need to be stopped for 21 days. So I was wondering if you can comment a bit on the situation and remind us where the India production is going, because if I remember well, you decided a few months ago to move some of your Chinese export to the U.S. to India in order to avoid tariffs. Thank you.
Stefano, can you please answer question number one? I will answer question number two.
Yes, Niccolò, your calculation is correct. The increase of 10 million is due to two reasons. The first one is linked to the reorganization that we had in the last quarter. We had the merger between Pacon and Dixon. The other organization was in France, merger between Canson France and Miercolo. Then we also had an asset deal between the U.K. control company by Pacon, Creativity, with the Dallaire U.K. So this is the first reason. Second reason is the main one, is that in this amount, we included all the total amount of the claims, non-recurring claims, rise commercial claims, rise from Walmart. This claim are mainly linked to the poor service given by Dixon, but poor service linked to the subsequent to the merger and with the Dallaire U.K., Dallaire U.S. So because after, if you remember, the merger, the company and the integration, the IT system, commercial system, the U.S. market suffer of poor delivery, poor service to, poor service to customer. And Walmart this year rise this amount of claims linked mainly after this operation. So linked to a precise event that is this extraordinary integration. And these claims are mainly referred to 2017-2018 fiscal year, not this year. For this reason, we treat these claims as non-recurring. Just to give you another information, that these claims, of course, are linked to poor service, as I said, so shortage, price claim, defective products. The normal amount that the company had the normal year for this claim is less than $500,000. So following the best practice, these costs were totally treated as non-recurring. So this is the explanation why we had this increase of 10 million.
Let me add that, putting together the two systems, the management of United States could finally have a better view of all these claims with customers, and at the end, we decided to find an agreement, finalize all the pending issue, and close 2019, and I would say close the past, starting the new era with everything working properly. Let me answer to India. Yes, I think the government took an appropriate decision because they have very few cases, and clearly they are not underestimated the problem as it happened in other area of the world. India is a pity. I cannot say anything else, because India this year was running even faster than the last 2 years, which is unbelievable sometimes. And so the company is working full speed. So these 20, 21 days will be 21 days of lost sales, no doubt. What we have obtained by the local government is to compensate some of the hours that we have lost during some extra hours in the coming period. Concerning the supply of the group, this is also a problem because, as you remember, to face the problem of the tariffs, we have moved some production from China. But not only that, Pacon has moved quite important volumes to our subsidiary in India that they were buying outside. This, by the way, will justify an improvement of the group EBITDA because we are reducing direct cost. Concerning pencils, we have immediately reacted and we brought back some quantities to China because in the meantime China is completely fully operational since early March. So we prefer to have some extra cost related to the tariff, but to give good service to the customer that in this moment have disruption in their supply chain. So we are taking some opportunities in the market. Considering the rest, unfortunately, we have moved such big quantities to DOMS that we can only sit and wait and hope that they will restart as soon as possible. In this moment, we have a good amount in stock, but as I mentioned 10 minutes ago, our first quarter in the United States is brilliant. So clearly, there is a comment, but now we enter in the subjective points. I see in the United States customers, they start to shut down. So probably the demand is more likely going to go down in April and mid-May or May. Thus, India will have some time to recover. One very important point I forgot to mention before, in this moment, there is no is out of the table any penalty fines related to bad service with American customers. So we are refusing or we are discussing with customers because the disruption that is happening in the supply chain starting mid-January in China and now continuing in India and hopefully nothing to say in Mexico for the moment. No fines are accepted, no fines are requested by customers, so we do not expect any surprise from this point of view.
Okay, thank you. And maybe if I can follow up on India and China. You said that your plant is fully operational. It's been fully operational since end of March, since beginning of March. Did you have any problem in shipping goods to Europe from China? Did you have to do some air shipping instead of boat shipping? Any extra cost related to such shipments?
No, in this moment we have already containers coming to Europe that we receive in the next few days or weeks. We, as FILA, we were a little bit more sensible than the rest of the world on this COVID-19 because we were suffering problems in China as we have four plants. So I would say this helped us to move a little bit in advance. So we booked a container a little bit in advance, and we decided not to airship because in agreement with my CEO, we said this year is not the right year to spend extra money, and anyway, we do not have any urgency to put the product in the warehouse, as unfortunately we were expecting the problems that are happening now. Of course, maybe not this magnitude in Italy, but we didn't have any sense of emergency considering the disruption in the supply chain. So we have more problems to find containers available for United States, but our supply chain from one side is more difficult to manage, having almost 30 plants around the world is more difficult to manage problems related to the virus. But this is giving us a competitive advantage because we react immediately and we can decide what is a priority and what is not. Imagine if you outsource your production, there is a long list of customers. All of them have their own priorities, but generally speaking, the supplier decide what they want on it's their own interest. This is not our case because we are fully integrated. And as I said in the past, this is generally speaking a competitive advantage.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about actually what are your main opportunities/challenges that you see in this moment coming from this virus spread. So your things that you feel relaxed, and then other thing that you sleep not so well is this topic. My second question is about networking capital. This year you executed well. I expected better management in terms of inventories that were almost flat year on year, but you executed well, it seems, looking at the balance sheet, looking at the credits. I would like to better understand what were the reasons behind this decrease in credits, if you executed something special. I don't know, better if you would like to better understand, to better clarify this point. And finally, I saw tax rate incredibly low in the fourth quarter, probably taxes positive. I would like maybe this year a little complex, a lot of extraordinaries or something to not make it clean the tax rate. I would like to, if you have a guidance in terms of normalized tax rate for the next year. I remember that it was 30% in the past. Thank you.
Massimo, I start or do you prefer to start? Please start with the tax rate, Stefano.
Okay. Now we start with the working capital and then the tax rate. As you said, and I would like to repeat, we improved 3 points the working capital ratio, going down from 45.5 to 42.3. Yes, you are right. Receivable were well managed. Inventory, Alessandro, if you look at the balance sheet, is misleading to the exchange rate. So it's not a true value that you can see because the balance sheet value are affected by the year-end translation exchange rate. So we started to improve. I think that the cycle is not finished. We improve more or less of 40 days compared to the previous year, from 250 to 214 days of rotation as average at the group level. So I think this is could be an answer. And so of course, if you fix your view on the balance sheet, there is this misleading effect. So anyway, inventory improved 40 days. And again, I don't think that the job is finished. It just started. So, of course, now the conditions are different, but in normal condition, we see also a better improvement this year. Coming back to the tax rate, it's totally misleading. If you see the total tax rate, you have to separate the deferred tax and current tax. What happened is that in USA in particular, due to the merger, the total, the federal tax rate changes, It went down from 6 points down, is a federal tax rate. And what happened? Do you remember that PECON had a lot of deferred tax coming from the PPA, purchase price allocation, and due to this big change in the federal tax rate, a lot of a big amount of deferred tax was released. So this created a total misleading effect on the total tax that you see on the P&L. If you see, if you analyze only the current tax, I can confirm that we have a little improvement, 28% of tax rate, current tax rate, that is due, again, to the real effect that there was in the USA to the decrease of this tax rate. And also we have a little improvement in India of the tax rate. So again, you have to separate the deferred tax from the current tax. Current tax rate is working 28%. I don't know if it's clear.
So that's basically for the next year, so we need to calculate the tax rate of
28%. Yeah. The special effect is due to the release of the deferred tax due to this change of federal tax rate due to the merger of the two companies.
Okay.
Massimo, I think that's...
For my side, as Stefan introduced the working capital, let me add two very simple concepts. Number one, as I had the chance to say 10 minutes ago, we had an unexpected strong destocking strategy from our customers. As we prepare our supply chain and forecast based on history and the sales forecast, we couldn't adjust this destocking that was happening suddenly in the appropriate way. Thus, it appears a little bit less, a little bit worse than expected. Let me tell you two more things. I fully understand that everybody today is focused on COVID-19, so probably your memory has the tendency to forget. But last year, we were under an unbelievable pressure from the tariffs made by the President of the United States. So it was extremely complicated for us to work as in a normal course of business that with customers that were nervous, that was changing from one SKU to the other. So it was the worst year possible to make a good planning. So if I were in you, I would consider this result as a good result because it is slightly better than expectation and would allow us to show that in normal circumstances, situation will further improve. Concerning the question related to opportunities, if I understood well, short-term opportunities, here I think you should, if we talk in light of our investors, the first quarter, as I said, we expect a good first quarter, despite the disaster we are living in since the first week of March. And this has been also driven by some short-term opportunities that as the disruption of the supply chain of our customers or of our competitors, and I underline our competitors, we had some short-term opportunities that, of course, we took. The other point that I have not highlighted for the moment, but I think it's extremely important, the business in which FILA is active has shown already in the past a total inelasticity or being an essential business, I would say, immediately after food in the expense of every family. So if we think, and I do think that in September school will reopen, our product is not about because it's fancy to buy a pencil, but our products are about because they are necessary. And in the crisis of 2008 and 2011, at the end of the year, we had an absolutely normal result as expected. So if we take out from the table the month of April and maybe partially month of May, in which we are in a very difficult condition to operate, I do think that FILA business is very interesting because it is definitely a resilient business to any kind of recession that I fear will come as soon as COVID-19 will leave us. I think this is an opportunity because FILA confirm to be an interesting business to be.
Okay, and also looking at you reported in 2019 some write downs for 5 million. So also looking at your concern. So we spoke about opportunities, good thing, just to if you have any of this to think about the future in this moment.
Sorry, can you repeat the question, Alessandro? I didn't get the point.
So my question is about the fact that we spoke about opportunities, good things, and so I would like also to understand what are the points that you are analyzing carefully in this current environment on the headwinds that you could have and so on, just to better understand all the two faces of this current situation. Thank you.
You mean to analyze also the liabilities of the current situation?
Yes, exactly. If any, of course.
But, you know, we are a global company, the fastest growing country in the world for us is India. Another very important country is Mexico. I cannot imagine the disaster that could happen over there if the COVID will spread out also in those countries. You have seen the consequences in Italy. I think that, if I may say, the virus has decided for us the best moment to come in Europe, because we are not yet in back to school, and unless government decide to support the distribution, I foresee huge problems in terms of sustainability of the business of our customers. Fortunately, we have not yet opened the amount of let's say of delivery and thus the invoices to our customers, so we will be in a position to decide who supply. I really hope that the government will support, and maybe the banks will support us giving more credit, because a big risk I see in this situation, and not only in Europe but also in the United States, huge risk of credit in front of us. So more than business problems that, as I said, I don't see that being a problem for FILA, because at the end it is related to the number of kids that go to school or number of people that like to draw. But this in this situation tends to grow. So in this case, we are an anti-cycle business. The reality is that we have hard time to give the product to our consumer. So what is in the middle has an unbelievable risk of a failure, because they were already suffering due to e-commerce competition. And now with COVID-19, this I leave as the highest risk in this situation.
Okay, very, very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good evening, everybody. I have three questions. First one is on your outlook. Many thanks for your for the potential quantification of the impacts on sales from the COVID-19 outbreaks, which is really helpful for us. I was wondering, as you are mentioning just April and May, should we expect that the performance of the top line in March was normal, or should we expect also some impact, I would guess so, also in the month of March? That's the first question. The second one is always on this outlook. How should we expect this impact at the top line to translate going down to the EBITDA? I was wondering which are the levers you can touch to limit the impact on EBITDA of the top line decline. And the final question is on the US. You are mentioning a positive performance in the first quarter. Actually, this is quite surprising, as we have seen some kind of sequential deterioration in the past quarters. I would like to know how much of this rebound is linked to the very easy comparison base you have versus the first quarter of 2019, and how much is linked to an improvement of the underlying market, which could benefit your performance in the US once this COVID-19 emergency fades away.
Okay. Maybe I will ask you to repeat in detail the question, or if I forget something, please remind me. To answer the question on the first quarter, I am sorry, but we need to answer following the wave of the coronavirus. So if you confirm you are interested, I can definitely do. The wave of coronavirus started in China, and of course, for example, our plants were closed and our sales were almost down to zero. A good news is that at the end of March, our sales has already reached 75% of the sales of last year. So in one single month, we have I would say made up three quarters of the distance that we have accrued in until the end of February. Then the wave arrived earlier in Italy and then in Europe. Italy was having a great start of the year. This is very simple to answer. There was an important destocking decision in our market. Italy last year ended up, if I'm not wrong, between -1%, something like that. As our business is very resilient, this -1% probably was related to the destocking policy of our customers. So Italy was growing quite strong until the first week of March. Then the government were imposing a shutdown. I think Italy will end at the end of March around the same figures of last year. Please consider that it's now 1 week that we do not invoice anymore. Then the wave continued to Europe. Europe is doing extremely well, and I'm referring to the central warehouse particularly. You remember the first quarter of last year, we had many problems to start with the central warehouse. So Europe, until the end of February, was growing double digit, but more in the area of 20%. Then, of course, in March, we see a slowdown also because many countries are shutting down retailers. We will end in March still with a double-digit growth, but clearly with an important reduction of the trend that, of course, we hope to recuperate when we will reopen. UK is the last one. UK had a very good year last year and had also a very good first quarter. So UK is growing in the first quarter. Then we go to United States. I think that your analysis on the analyst in general that have made their opinion on United States clearly strongly underestimated the problem of the disruption of our ERP system and the bad service that we have incurred during the transition period. So what happened is that in 2019, the management in North America did a good job. We have done one consecutive year of good performance, good service. Customer recognize that we have go back to normal course of business. We are again a reliable supplier. So already our budget considered an improvement in United States, a strong improvement in United States for 2020. The first quarter is telling us that we are doing even better than our budget, probably for opportunistic reasons, as our supply chain was better organized than the supply chain of our customer or of our competitor. So the service for United States is key. 2018 was a disaster. We finalized also an acquisition. We had to fix all the problems, and we are not magicians. We need months to fix a long supply chain and reestablish the relationship with customers. This happened in 2019, so I am not surprised at all that United States are performing so well in the beginning of the year. Concerning Fine Art, I said many times the psychological influence of Arch acquisition is clearly giving us great image everywhere in the world, and many customers are turning into our favor. Concerning the top line EBITDA, I preferred in the beginning of the call to give you the estimated sellout by month, because if not, I should make an hypothesis for every month. So I should make an hypothesis if we start working in April, or if we start working in May, or if we start working in June, which I think is boring and not really useful. Also because the big part of our sales are in September. I would prefer rather to give you the estimation of lost sales by month, so the day that we will read that the business will start again, it will be quite easy to readjust our forecast. If you recall, we announced a single-digit growth in top line and a double-digit growth in EBITDA for 2020. What are the weapons we have to control the eventual or possible reduction of turnover? We have important marketing investment that in this moment we have frozen. Particularly in this period of time between March and June, we spend a huge amount of money to travel, to visit customer. We are global, so we spend a lot. We are frozen also that kind of expenses completely. We are reducing all non-compulsory investment that we have put at the budget level substantially. This will help us with the cash. As you probably read in the press release, we have decided to suspend the payment of dividends in order to have more cash available in short term. As you probably know, we have a lot of the so-called MDF or bonuses related to the performances of the customers. This is a quite important number in our gross margin that today we have hard time to reforecast, but it is strictly related to the performance of the customers. If we do not reach the budgeted top line, of course, we will reduce proportionally also the MDF. I think we have an estimation that for a 10%-12% reduction of top line, we have a reduction in the area of 20% of EBITDA. Of course, consider that we will end the first quarter growing versus last year and versus budget. A reduction of 10% is really a negative assumption.
Okay, very clear. Many thanks.
The next question is from François Robillard with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my question. If you can just recall to us, what was the weight of each month, March, April, and May in your total sales? You mentioned 4%. Is that only for school and office, or is that for the whole group? If you can give us as well a hint on your order book evolution. I guess the restocking process from your customers has been postponed as well with the closure of retailer centers across the world. Finally, if you can give us as well an idea of your exposure, direct or indirect, to online retail, which might carry on working even through lockdown. Thank you very much.
Yes, I do confirm that in order to help you in analyzing our numbers, we made an estimation of the sellout, and the sellout is by month is 4%. But I would suggest that you don't consider at all this 4% in March, because we have sold on full speed in India, United States, UK, Mexico until yesterday. So I would take out from the table the month of March. Only we have been affected, I would say, starting the 10th of March in Italy and from the 20th of March in Central Europe. So I would rather consider April as a month in which we'll be completely shut down, and maybe a portion of the month of May. Can you repeat, sorry, the second question? Because first of all, I didn't understand, so I don't recall.
No, it was on if you could give us some indications on your order books so far, if you had any cancellations, and if you see that the restocking process at your main clients are being postponed again.
No, we don't have cancellation. First of all, I would say it's the opposite, because before shutting down, we were receiving, especially in Mediterranean country, even too much orders that I was scared to supply, because when the situation will be normalized, I didn't want to have any negative surprise on receivables. So it is exactly the opposite. Cancellation for everyone is too early, because you have to consider that the customers in this moment are selling their stock, so the level of orders with us is quite reduced, and customers start picking up orders with us around mid-May until July, August, for back to school of September. So they even don't know what will happen with the virus. So fortunately, it's too early for us to jump to conclusion. And again, this is the reason why I decided to give you the impact on the lost sales on a monthly base, because we cannot see the future. Concerning e-commerce, of course, we have an important exposure in countries in which proportional in countries in which e-commerce is more organized. So, for example, in the United States, in this moment, is booming, and in other countries, of course, is much less important. Still, we have customers, also traditional customers, that sell online. If I should make a guess, I'm talking of not more than 30% of our total sales go through e-commerce and food and drug.
Thank you.
The next question is from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, two follow-ups. One very brief on factoring, if you can tell us which was the amount of factoring at the end of the year. And the second one, maybe a bit longer on EBITDA. You achieved 110, 111 million versus, let's say, last guidance, which was pointing in 115 million area. So what went wrong in the last part of the year to have 4 million less than expected on an adjusted basis? So already taking into account all the fines and all the restructuring you talked about before. Thank you.
Niccolò, I can answer you about the BDA, and Stefano will answer you about factoring. Concerning the BDA, the answer is very simple. Not mentioning, let's say, the troubled water we were working for the tariff in the United States, 80% of this EBITDA we have lost in United States for huge destocking process that happened. We have also had less synergies or economy of scale, for example, from having shut down Canson operation, we had more problem than expected to hire people, to instruct them, so we had a lot of inefficiency in the production process, which now, of course, have been solved through October, November. we have had also, don't forget, we have shut down an headquarter at the end of September. You can imagine that it's not overnight that you cut costs. You had a lot of resignation, you have people not working with motivation, and this was happening also throughout the year because we have substantially reorganized. So the reason why I highlighted the strong departure of the United States is because we think that problems are really gone. And in the last quarter, definitely we suffered of much lower sales than expected.
Okay. Talking about the factoring, Niccolò, we did this year more or less 8-9 million euro more compared last year, 18. This was done mainly in the USA and a little part in Mexico. So we have a general plafond for your information of 40 million in the group for the agreement that we have with the bank. So it's our maximum level. And this year we were near to 37, 38 million. So about 8 million more compared 18.
Grazie.
There is no question at the moment. This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to management for any closing remarks.
I thank everybody for questions and your participation to the call. And hopefully we will talk soon in a better environment.
There we are.
Thank you.